no sense.
You are listening to the La Tavola Marque Radio Network.
Snow.
I wash my hands with snow. I take a care with snow. Good morning, and thank you for downloading. We're in holly jolly spirits because it is the first snow of the season. It is
snow.
White outside, and it makes me feel like watching White Christmas.
Yes, a little bing always gets me through the holidays.
Thank you so much for downloading our podcast. My name is Jason. I'm joined with my lovely wife, Ashley, and together we have a little podcast called The Podcast from Italy.
Ciao.
Ciao. It's a little look into our lives and what's going on at our tiny little farmhouse and agriturismo here in Le Marche, Italy. And we are
stinging
and stuck in snow. We have, 6 inches?
Something like that.
12, it's 15 nice. Centimeters it, of snow.
It was perfect because we decorated the Christmas tree. We have one in the kitchen and we'll get one in our little place. And we decorated the one in the kitchen, so it's got a bunch of lights and the balls and everything are on it, and some other lights are strung up in the kitchen, so it feels really festive, and then to have the snow falling and make it so we're kind of holed up at home, I love it.
Today is Monday, the 10th of December. Thank you very much for joining us.
Which actually makes the snow the earliest we've ever had.
Yeah, we had. It's true. Normally the snow is in after Christmas or January.
Because technically the snow was on the 8th.
The snow.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
So that was definitely, since we've arrived, the earliest we've had snow. I wonder if it's a precursor of things to come.
Please do not talk like that. After last year's winter,
the end of the world is coming too, so you never know. This could be part of that.
Oh, that's true. 12 days. 12 days.
Anything on your calendar for the end of the world, Jason?
Probably not.
If you could pick one last meal, what would it be?
One last meal before the end of the Mayan calendar. See, that's a loaded question because I would have to say something crappy from America because we haven't had, or like Thai food or sushi. Sushi, there you go.
You'd have sushi?
I'd have sushi.
As your last meal on Earth?
Yeah, yeah. Too much sushi, two people.
You wouldn't just gorge yourself on a pig, some sort of pork product?
No, because we get pork products I get pork all the time here. Now, sushi is something you can't find.
I'd make it into some sort of all-day eating event.
I'm sure it would. But save your latest fat story.
Okay.
Story about being fat for later in the podcast.
Okay.
We had a little snow here, and we took a little trip, so we have lots to cover. You want to get going?
Yeah. So we went to Rome. We were talking about that before with my brother in town. And he'd never been to Rome. He'd never been to Europe. So we thought, what, we've got to go see, you know, the Colosseum and the Pantheon and all of that. And it was awesome. I was able to arrange a guided tour for the Colosseum for the underground part called the Dungeons, or there's another name for it, but it's slipping my head right now, and the upper third level, which was really cool just to hear these stories. But I'd have to say my favorite part was being underground. What about you, Jay?
My favorite part of Rome?
Of the Colosseum tour.
Oh, the Colosseum tour. Yeah, I liked learning about the holes in the floor where they had the elevators and the winches. That was pretty cool. And I liked I liked going out onto the stage of, they built about a quarter of the stage. They rebuilt it at one end. I think it's the south side. Whatever. The side that they take out the all the animals from. And you get to go on to there as part of this tour, which was great. Highly recommend tours if you're going to go to Rome and you're going to go do the Vatican or the Roman Forum or the Colosseum. Get a tour, or at very least the audio guides, because it really, for me at least, you just look around and you just look at all this stuff. You have no idea what you're looking at.
Yeah, and I was a dumb enough person to think that the bricks were new. I was like, oh, I think those bricks are probably new. And it ends up the bricks are freaking just damn near as old, too. So, that being said, of doing the tour, I would say first trip to Rome, try to get, like, one guided tour and an audio guide for most places. We were lucky enough to live here and to have gone back to Rome many times. So I think our first trip to Rome, we were there for a few days, and we did audio guides in most places, including, like, the Vatican Museum and things like that. Then I was able to go back and have a guided trip when some family was here, and now to do the guided one of the Colosseum. It was just kind of cool to break them down one by one like that, and a little more dedicated on each trip, and yeah, to really hear these stories and make your imagination run wild and make the place come to life, and to think of how many people were sitting there and the food they were eating and how they were moving these animals and the outrageous stories of having naval battles and things like that in the Colosseum, filling it with, oh, it's just crazy. And yeah, well, all the slaves working, and I don't know. I love that stuff. I love hearing, well, it made it sound like I love slaves, but I love hearing these stories. And
so if you have the extra money to do it, it makes the trip much richer because you can find out all about these things. And I've never had a bad guide in Rome.
No, and I was going to say, it's not that much more expensive. I think it was $12 per person more for the guided tour. So that's not bad.
No, not at all.
Not at all. And then we also saw, of course, we went to St. Peter's and our favorite building, the Pantheon.
So we did a nice little two nights in Rome, 3 days, I should say.
We stayed in Ostia Antica, and that was nice to be outside of the city. And especially close to the airport, but there was horrible traffic.
It was better to be close to the airport because Ashley's brother had a very, very early flight the last morning. I think his flight took off at 6:15. So it was nice to be out of the air by the airport. It was 10 minutes to the airport. But driving around Rome is not something I recommend, especially if you're not used to driving in crazy traffic.
Oh my god, there's no lane markage, there's not a lot of
There's no rules.
The only place crazier is Napoli, and just, I think, thank god you drove enough in New York to get a hang of it, too, where you just go with the flow. It's just like, don't stop.
But it's really, especially from when you're not used to it. I mean, out here there's no cars, there's one stoplight in all of our area, all like four little villages.
Traffic is when there's a tractor slowing you down.
Yes. It always makes me laugh when guests ask us, so what's the parking situation out there?
Yeah, what's the parking going to be like in Piobico?
Yeah, we're going to Piobico. Is there parking? It's like, yeah, there's 2,000 people in Piobico. I don't think you're going to have.
And it's Italy, and it's a small town. You can put your car wherever you can fit it for the most part, too. It is. It's funny. But so Rome, it rained towards the end.
But otherwise, great weather.
Yes, it was perfect time of year for no tourists and no crowds. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a nice, quiet time to go to Rome, beginning of December, it started to feel festive, the weather was great, and for the most part, the streets
were empty.
Empty! We kept trying to tell my brother, you have no idea! Normally the Spanish Steps are packed, or the Pantheon,
there was
had
barely,
it to ourselves.
There was no one in the Pantheon.
There's 23 other people in the Pantheon.
Yeah.
Insane. Normally school trips everywhere and things like that. So that was really great. However, I always struggle with the food. Like, we had a bunch of recommendations of places to eat, which is great. However, it's also hard because Rome is a big city. So to get from, you know, you're over, yeah, near the Spanish Steps, but yet you have a pizza recommendation for near Vatican City. So it's like, oh, geez Louise, should I take a cab? Where is something around here? But we did find a place near Campo di Fiori, which we like to try to go to this place for the filetta di baccalà, for the fried fish, but they're closed, like always, no?
We've been there once. Otherwise, that place is always closed.
Every single time we've tried. But then we heard about going to this place called Roscioli, which is like one of the oldest butchers or something, or some old deli. And it was great. Jason was happy with what he ordered, but dinner...
Not for kids, though. Like,
no.
For your brother, he got ravioli with botarga. And botarga is the egg sac of a fish called the mugine. I think it's a sturgeon, but I'm not sure what it is in English. And they dry that sac out, and it's like caviar. Then they grate it over your pasta. And he got ravioli with this botarga over the top.
He had no idea what it was. I go, how's your ravioli? And he was like, it was a little fishy. And so I go to have a bite, and I was like, oh, yeah. And Jason's like, it's freaking Bottarga. Like,
well, it's just not a place for someone who doesn't care, who just wants to shove a bowl full of ravioli in their mouth.
Yeah.
I got tuna from Sardinia with grilled artichokes and olives, and I was a pig in shit.
You were so happy. You just, like, tucked into your plate, and you're like...
Didn't offer anyone any?
Nope.
I thought it was a great place. So if you're into that kind of Italian charcuterie type of things and cheeses from all over Italy, go check it out. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. Good bread, too.
Awesome, awesome bread. But we went to Trastevere for dinner to a restaurant we've been to before, and I gotta say...
What's the name? Augusto?
Yeah, and I was
Augusto,
just...
Augusto, Trattoria Augusto. Or Osteria.
Whatever. But it was just... It was a miss, I gotta say.
The first time we went here, we got the record. I forget who.
Rick Steves.
Probably. And so it was awesome.
Did they jump the shark?
I don't know. But it was awesome. It was the daughter was serving, and there was no menu. She just came out and asked you what you wanted and told you, like, six different things. There was no check at the end. She just took, like, a crayon and, like, wrote down everything on your tablecloth, the paper tablecloths, and then did the math right there. It was awesome. Went back this time, and it was like...
It was like pre-made.
Yeah, it was like cafeteria food.
Like, we all got secundos. We all went for meat dishes, and within 6 minutes, they were all at the table, and it was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And, which obviously means everything was pre-cooked.
Yeah.
It was just disappointing.
Sorry, I'm throwing more...
Jason's putting wood in our... stove. This year we got rid of our little potbelly stove, and with this, what is this called? I mean, it's called a stufa. Stufa, a little wood burning stove, and it's much more efficient. So this year, no worries, folks, we won't die of poisoning, like carbon monoxide poisoning. I really thought we were going to, because you would slip into this, like, carbon monoxide coma in the middle of the day and be like, oh, it's so sleepy.
Yeah, and then you walk out and then you go outside and you're like, oh, I feel much more awake and alive. anyway, we're digressing. But yes, this place, I don't know. I don't know if it got famous and now it's no good.
It's just a bummer.
I know it is a bummer. Rome is really hit and miss. You have to know where to go. I can say probably don't eat anywhere within the historic city center where all the tourist attractions are. But... like any other big city, expensive when you choose the wrong route, when you make a mistake.
This is true. But we dropped off my brother, and we moved on. We thought, let's break up the trip coming home, and we thought about Orvieto, or Todi, or Spoleto, and highly recommended by both Italian friends of ours and American friends who have been there. And then I started thinking, wait, if we're over there, why don't we go to Norcia? Because it's a place we've always talked about going, right on the Umbria-Marche border. And Castelluccio is there, which is famous for its lentils. And it was just kind of immediately settled. Yes, let's go there. So we jumped in the car, hit horrific traffic for...
on the GRA, just getting out of Rome. But it's 2 hours from Rome to Norcia, and it's about 2.5 hours from our house to Norcia.
Just like due east from Rome, kind of.
Nestled in the Sabellini Mountains is two beautiful, picturesque little towns of Norcia and Castelluccio. And you want to talk about what a Norcino is?
A Norcino is a pork butcher. And so Norcia is famous for their pork butchers and the way they cure their prosciutto.
Correct. And salamis
and salamis
sausages.
And all that too. But especially because you've, like, there's prosciutto di Norcia.
It's famous.
It's very famous. And I guess the butchers there are so famous and long, for so long throughout history, that even there's, like, famous surgeons from this town because they were used to butchering the meat. Like, they were so fine-tuned with their skills. But we went and stayed at a sweet place there. And... took a little day trip. We were only there for a night, but we really took advantage of the whole day, like a day and a half being there. And we went to Scheggino, which is a little town outside of Spoleto on the way to Norcia, for lunch. And I read that it was supposed to be a teeny tiny mini Venice. And in a way it was. They had like two canals and a river. And it was really,
River Nera.
Yeah, it was really cute and a really crackly little city where you could walk around through the old part. But, OMG, it was the best lunch, no?
Yeah, they had grilled brook trout from the river right next, that ran right next to the restaurant, and it just grilled. It was awesome.
So we're in deep in the mountains, like, or in the foothills too, like we are up here, and it was great to be staying in a city known for pork, but to go just half an hour outside and have this great, still be in the mountains, but have a great fish lunch, nice and light. And also we had the antipasti, and that would have to be the best
black truffle crostini I've ever had.
Absolutely. It was so good. And at first bite, you're like you see it and you think, oh God, I mean, we have it all the time out here and all the festivals and it's whatever. But this was good.
It was really good. I don't know. Maybe we're just hungry.
And the Norchina, how do you call it? The prosciutto? Prosciutto di Norcia?
Yeah.
I think it's sweet.
It is sweeter and not as salty as like prosciutto di Parma or Mantanella or stuff that, there's things that we usually get.
And I noticed they all seem to hand cut the prosciutto because it was much, or at least it was just all much thicker.
They cut their salamis and their prosciutto a little thicker than we cut it. I don't know. Maybe that's just them there. I have no idea. But it's definitely worth a visit, and if you're around there, check it out.
Scagino. And then in Norcia itself, we went to go listen to the monks chant, and which was really cool. And then in San Benedetto, the Church of San Benedetto, and then we went to dinner.
So, well, you tell the story.
I've been doing all the talking.
We went to dinner across the street from this little hotel, that really nice hotel we stayed at, and this is the oldest restaurant in Norcia. It's in all the books.
Yeah.
And it had a giant fireplace in at the front of the dining room, and this little guy comes over, and Ashley ordered.
Let me see. Wait, I want to tell you guys the name of the place. It's called Granaro del Monte.
And it's, everyone will know this restaurant in town. But Ashley ordered healthily. We had the
best. What do you like to say? What's that? Said I ordered the whole left side.
Ashley ordered the left side of the menu. I mean, Italian menu, it's not that big, and Ashley ordered a lot of things, but I will say, we have to push pause real quick. I have to go turn my bread dough. Okay, thanks. Sorry about that. Had to go and give the first turn to the bread dough that I'm trying out again today, which we'll talk about in a minute. But back to the restaurant.
Back to my feeding frenzy.
Yes. So Ashley ordered the left side, and quite possibly the best gnocchi I've ever had in my life.
Whoa, back it up. So I wasn't even thinking about it. I knew I wanted lentil soup because the area is famous for the lentils, and I just for some reason thought it would be a small little bowl, so that would be more of like an antipasta. And then I got gnocchi with truffles, and I was like, all right, that's my primo. And then I got this serious secondo, and I was like, this is going to be good. But let's not...
What was your secondo?
The secondo was pork medallions wrapped in...
Lardo?
No.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. With these greens that were like dry fried, I keep saying.
With chicory, and then it was a little... sauce of pecorino cheese, and then truffles over the top.
And then the poached pear in
red wine.
Uh-huh. And a bit of potatoes and tomato. So there's plenty of food to be had. But let's not mince words here. Jason did not order light either. I might have ordered two primos. He ordered two secondos.
Well, I got the... I wanted to try the trout again. And I also... What else did I get?
You got, like, the lamb chop?
Oh, yeah, I got... Well...
Because there was a huge fireplace.
Yeah, they were grilling meat in this huge fireplace at the front of the dining room. So I was like, well, I have to get grilled
with
lamb.
This, like, incredible rotisserie thing that you just kept thinking, oh, my God, you could put a whole pig in there. It looked so incredible. After we order, I look at the waiter and I say, oh, abbiamo una buona forchetta, no? Like, we have a hearty appetite, no? And he goes, I've noticed. He was like, okay. So, whatever, we order some wine and it's like, let's get comfortable. And
Dinner was great.
Dinner was great. The gnocchi was the best freaking gnocchi I've ever had. They made it with patate rosso.
So the secret to gnocchi, I get, my gnocchi never come out great. But
come out good, but not like this.
Not like this. Red potatoes. You have to use red potatoes because they have the right amount of starch and water content.
And people will tell you all different types of potatoes, but let me tell you, I've eaten a lot of gnocchi, and these were hot damn the best ones I've ever had.
Very light. They were like little pillows.
Little pillows that when you press it from the tongue to the roof of your mouth, it just perfectly collapses into like a mashed potato, and it was just awesome.
Gnocchi can sometimes be like hard or
gummy,
or when you eat them, you feel like they expand in your stomach.
No, I could eat these all night.
Yeah, they were really freaking good.
Just on 8 of 10.
Anyway, after we're getting ready to leave.
Oh, and we ate everything.
Yeah, it was good. But
let's just go back to one other thing too. Your trout was actually just a vehicle for meat and cheese.
I know it wasn't. I wasn't going to say anything, but the trout wasn't very good. That trout wasn't. No.
If you're looking for the trout, go to Scagino. If you're looking for the pork and the gnocchi, go to the Norcia.
But anyway, go ahead. Leaving the restaurant.
Leaving the restaurant. The waiter runs out after us.
Wait.
What did he hand me?
Well, there's these plates that they gave her a plate to take home with her.
I ate so well, he said he wanted to give me a plate to commemorate it. So I'm a big girl with a big appetite.
Well, explain the plates, because they're special. They're kind of special.
Yeah, they're these cool handmade plates that are from some company who do this for, like, restaurants and, like, osteria places, little eateries throughout Italy that you can get these handmade plates made.
And it has their famous dish on it.
Uh-huh.
And
it's just so happened to be what I had ordered.
And it's like it's called like a record of good record, or I don't know.
Yeah, like buon ricordo.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a good memory of your meal or something.
And
but
certain, I think there's part of this group that some restaurants and some little family run eateries are part of.
Because some of the guests have tried to get us to get into that before.
Yeah, and you can collect them from mm-hmm. all these places.
But it was hysterical. It just made me feel extra fat to be chased out and said, "Oh, and here's a plate to remind you all that you ate." So, and it snowed that night in Norcia, which was very romantic and nice. And the next morning, we decided to go check out Castelluccio, which is where the lentil fields are that are in the Marche, and the town is in Umbria. However, just about 10, 20 kilometers outside of town, if that, we had to turn around because the roads were impassable with snow. So we'll have to go back in May or June when the fields are in bloom, which is when it's supposed to be spectacular anyway. But coming home, we stopped at, back in Norcia, we had stopped in town, and then also outside of town, there's a butcher shop called Ansuini, Fratelli Ansuini, and it was really interesting because their shop in town is actually not the original family any longer. It's just someone who has taken over the business. If you want to go to the original brothers, the original butchery shop, you need to go outside of town in the
zone industriale.
Yeah, the industrial zone.
All the fabricas. What would fabrica be in?
Like, not workshop, but like laboratory or where they make it. A fabrica is where they make something.
Yeah, what would you call that in English?
I don't know, keep talking.
Anyway, all of those are outside in the zona industriale, right outside, like 2 kilometers outside of Norcia, so not hard to find.
No.
The more of the shops for the touristy people are in town.
And Jason gives me this look before we go in, all we're going to get is lentils. And then we look at him, he's like, ooh, what kind of sausages are those? Oh, pork and boar, I'll take 10 of those. What other meat did you want? And what was the pork fat thing you got?
The pork fat thing.
Those little bits. Those, like, bagos.
Fried pork skins. I'm going to put them into focaccia bread.
Ooh. Okay, well, that's a perfect segue. Let's talk bread, baby.
So, update on my starter. I have now have my mother, my natural yeast starter, rising and falling in a predictable manner, and I feed it every day.
While we were gone, you had our neighbor watch it.
So, yep. Thank you, Carolyn, for feeding my girl, feeding my baby every morning. So now, yesterday, I tried to make bread for the first time, a simple country loaf, and didn't go so well.
So you were doing this consistent, making sure it was consistent for a week, about?
No, more like 2 weeks.
Okay, about 2 weeks, all right.
And what we're waiting for is for the starter, after you feed it about 3 or 4 hours, to rise, and then it turns from the sweet smell to more of a vinegary, like sour smell. And it was doing that predictably, so I'm ready to make bread. So the night before I'm ready to make bread, I discard all of two or three spoonfuls of the mature starter. I add water and flour again, and I let it sit overnight, and this is now my leavening. And I use that leavening to make the bread the next day, and then the leavening I add more flour and water to, and it now becomes my starter again. So you can constantly are using this starter and throwing some out and adding flour and using some of that and fermenting it again. So it's really not difficult once you kind of understand what's going on.
It sounds like a lot of work.
No, it's literally 30 seconds. Every morning, all you do is dump 3/4 of the starter out into the garbage and put equal parts of flour and water, mix it up, throw the towel back on, you're done.
Okay.
Literally, while the coffee is brewing, I do it. It takes 2 minutes.
That's true.
So then yesterday, during the bulk rise, or the first big rise for the bread, after you mix the flour and the water and the salt and all that, and you let it sit, it needs to do this at 80 degrees Fahrenheit. Or about 31 degrees centigrade. And God knows my kitchen is not 80 degrees Fahrenheit. So
no, you turned on the thing, the thermometer. What did it, the thermostat. What was it, the room temperature?
Not warm at all, in the 60s. So what I have to do is, I thought, okay, well, I'll put it by the fire and wrap it in a blanket. Well, I put it by the fire and wrapped it in a blanket and just left it for a little bit too long, and it cooked on one side. So I cooked my dough while it was trying to rise, and it didn't go so well. Today, what I've done differently is I have a thick plastic container for it, and I turn the oven on to, like, very, very, very low, like 50 degrees centigrade or, like, 100 and something degrees Fahrenheit for, like, 15 minutes, and then just shut the oven off. And then I let it rise in there, so hopefully it'll be about what I need it to be, which is 31 degrees or 80 degrees centigrade.
I hope it works, because we didn't have bread for dinner last night.
No, we didn't.
This little mishap.
I'm sorry, that's not true. 26 degrees centigrade, not 80. That's 80, not 88. 31 is like 92. What are you doing, boy cat?
I'm getting my water.
No, he's fine. Okay, so that's where we are on the bread, and hopefully in the next couple days, I'll have an actual edible country.
Oh, yeah, roll. I sure hope so. I'm really excited. This has been going on for long enough. I'm ready to taste the goods.
All right, what else do we have on our list to talk about?
I don't have much else to talk about. I was thinking about how it feels like Christmas, and I was thinking about Christmas movies, and how it just cracks me up so much how they change in Italy the names of movies all the time. I don't exactly know why. Maybe just so it's more public friendly or makes more sense to people. But two of my favorite movies that are Christmas movies, that they change the name in Italian, is Bad Santa, which is Babbo Bastardo, and Home Alone, which it's something like they changed the title to
Natale Senza Mamma.
Yes! Christmas Without Mama. And it just cracks me up because it's like that must be much more intense of a pull for people than just Home Alone. But I don't know. I was just thinking I wanted to watch a Christmas movie today because it's all snowy again and I'm feeling holly jolly. You've been baking cookies. And
no, today is Monday. It is time to get going. It is now almost 8:30. It's time to go.
All right, I have one more thing to say. Go Seahawks.
Yeah, if Seahawks won, big laugh. No one cares. This is an Italy podcast,
know,
not an American football
never
podcast.
Never can I say that.
Don't get too excited. The season isn't over yet. Coming up this week, what do we got going? Ashley, you're going to continue to write?
Yes, we have some Italian lessons, language lessons. We're meeting friends for lunch tomorrow for a good duck lunch. So we'll have to talk about that. Oh, I put on the blog photos and all the details from our lunch at the Hunter's Hideaway in Apecchio, which is actually called Acqua Partita. But so check it out for sure, too.
Coming up here in the next few days, we're going to make our cappelletti for Christmas, the little hats that you serve at Christmas. We'll have to talk about, Panettone Pandemonium last time, I think. Time to put the snow tires on. Woo!
Yes.
And get ready for Christmas because it is... do you know Christmas is 15 days away?
Oh, my gosh.
That is not... That's 2 weeks. That's not a long time at all.
It doesn't feel... Well, since we don't have TV and we don't really, like, watch commercials for anything, it doesn't have that same, like, commercialism feel. You know what I mean? So there's not that, like, shopping, shop, shop, where it's more like... Where's more wood to put on the fire?
Oh, real quick political thing. Yes, last week, Berlusconi's party, which is pulled out, had a vote of no confidence for the Mario Monti, our premier. So we will be having a new government again here probably in March. I don't understand Italian politics. I do understand that nothing gets done.
It's insane.
It is insane. And why doesn't Berlusconi just go away?
I don't know. When you're that old, who cares?
And that rich.
Yes, chill. Exactly.
Just chill, brother.
Go get an island, have your bunga bunga parties, and who cares?
I get it. We wanted. Did we want to throw out a question? Question? You don't have one, do you? Okay. Bring it home, Ash. It's been a half hour. I got to get to work.
I know it. All right. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us online on Facebook, on Twitter, anywhere really, at La Tavola Marca.
Check us out on our blog at latavolamarque.blogspot.com. Twitter, blah, blah, blah. Send us your questions or anything you'd like to hear about or a great... You know what? If anyone has any great things, Italian things for Christmas, traditions that they did with their family or...
I was thinking about that too.
New traditions that you've started with your old family, something interesting and fun that we can talk about for our next podcast, that would be great. And you could do... And if
I want to make a gingerbread house.
Sure you do. You mean you want me to do all the work and you just get to put on the fun candies.
I want to eat the candies as we're sitting there.
That's just what I have to do. Like my grandma would say, who needs it? That's just what I have to do with myself.
Boy, cat's going psycho.
Latavola Marque, can you spell it, please?
LATAVOLAMARCHE.
Latavola Marque. Well, thank you very much for downloading. And
buona giornata.
Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time from beautiful white Piobico, Italy. Hopefully someone will please plow the road today so we can go get milk. Have a wonderful afternoon. Thank you.
Ciao.